Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Today is Wednesday, October 2nd, 2013, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and the sun is shining. And, you know, one of the reasons why we need to be talking about how to thrive in a toxic world is because the world is toxic, and half of my time, well, not actually half, but a good portion of my time, I'm working on finding out what's toxic. And there are many people in the world today who are asking this question, who are recognizing that there are toxic chemicals all around us. And what are they? Which ones are they? Where are they hiding? What should be regulated? How toxic are they? Who gets what kind of illness from them? There's all these questions that are being asked and many, many people working on these issues. But I actually see that in comparison to all the people that are working on just finding out what's toxic, there's very few people who are talking about what are the solutions. That there are many books written on this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, and we need to know all of that so that we can avoid those toxic chemicals or remove them from our bodies. But what I'm really trying to do on this show, and I think I'm doing a good job, is bring together enough people who are working on what's toxic to show you that we are living in a toxic world and we need to do something about it, but also show you that there are solutions, that everything is not toxic, and that there are people who are working towards strengthening that which is good and healthy and sustainable. My guest today is one of those people who, like me, has been working on this issue for a very long time, decades in fact. Her name is Victoria Schomer. She's an architect, innkeeper, and a real estate agent. And she has been a pioneer in bringing toxic-free and green to the design world of designing buildings and remodeling, almost as long as I've been looking at the consumer products aspect of this. And we met, we'll ask Victoria when we met. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you?
I'm doing great. We're having just the most beautiful fall weather that just won't seem to quit, and I think it's our compensation for having such a lousy, soggy summer.
Well, Victoria is in Asheville, North Carolina, and I've been to Asheville in the fall, and it's absolutely stunningly gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
With all the color, it's just an amazing place. So, Victoria, tell us how you started in this field, because you really have been a pioneer. You've been doing this for a very long time. And how did you get into it when there wasn't a field? How did you even think of this? And then what were some of the first steps that you did? And I think I know where I came into the picture. So you started at your beginning.
Well, I think when I think about, you know, what formed who I am today, this green and constantly inquiring, environmentally concerned person, I am grateful that I grew up in Virginia with the big woods in my backyard. And even though it was sort of looked like suburbia with lots of houses lining the street, lots of kids playing, there was acres and acres and acres of woods in our backyard. So I was a tree hugger before, you know, I could remember anything else. And we played in the creek and hung out with the salamanders and the box turtles. And that was pretty much how I spent all my playtime with my other buddies in the neighborhood. That was certainly an important part of, you know, what formed me as someone who just loved and loved to be in nature and was really important. And are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. I heard a clicking noise. And
oh,
then,
I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. And so I guess it wasn't that big a surprise that I chose interior design. I was always rearranging rocks in the creek and trying to re-engineer the creek to flow better. And so interior design and the building world seemed to just be something that, you know, came of natural interest to me. But it wasn't very soon. It was pretty quick in my career that I started reading about rainforest destruction. And when I had, you know, think about my love of the forests and the woods, and I started reading about what was happening in the tropical rainforests, I was really horrified. And I then equated that and connected that with the fact that me recommending mahogany desks and chairs to my clients was actually, I was the one participating in destroying that habitat for mm-hmm. those societies mm-hmm. and those animals by me recommending those products to clients. And boy, that was just, that really pulled the plug on a lot of my my thinking or my decision-making process for doing, you know, standard selection of materials and products.
Well, I think that's a really important point that people get to when you stop thinking about just yourself and realize that all of your actions that you take is affecting the rest of the world. And I think a lot of people haven't gotten to that point. So, but that is, I went through a similar process where I recognized that everything that was toxic that I was using was not only affecting me, but it was affecting the environment. And mm-hmm. that if I wanted to live in a clean environment, I had to stop putting toxic things in it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very similar thing.
You can't participate in something that you disdain or you hate or that you feel is not right. It really kind of pulled the plug on my design career. And I also started reading about European paint materials, you know, the ones made from plant chemistry or from the resins mm-hmm. from the citrus trees or the old casein paint, milk-based paints that were being in Europe. And I thought, wow, why are they using products that seem to be so benign when we are, you know, here again, me as the interior designer, I'm painting the interior of these people's homes with all this toxic stuff, making them sick. I'm thinking, wait a minute, what in the world am I doing? And it pretty much just stopped me dead in my tracks, and I think you and I at that time were deep in the weeds of researching and trying to figure out
yes.
what is going on here and how in the world are we going to move forward making this world safe for ourselves and everyone we're working with and that we love and care about. And all the critters, for me, it was about, you know, the entire ecosystem, really.
Yes, well, you grew up, you were very fortunate to grow up in a childhood where the critters and the ecosystem
yes.
that they lived in was very real to you. I know a lot of
yes.
children grow up in cities, and I even once had an editor on one of my books where I talked about my local forest was the phrase that I used because I did have a local forest. I was living next to a state park that had preserved a forest. And she had no idea what a local forest was. She said it just did not, she couldn't conceive of it. And she crossed, I remember seeing her blue pencil line crossing that out, saying, "You can't say that. There's no such thing as a local forest." I went, "Yes, there is." Yeah,
oh
and
my
when
gosh,
we start
yeah.
having awareness of that, then we want to protect those things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And for many kids, that's all that they will know and experience for their childhood. I can remember somebody who started doing urban parks in, restoring these parks in the city or these areas in like New York City where they were just, terrible teardowns. And they started doing gardens, but they used to hand, a package of seeds to these inner city kids, and they look at them, and they go, "What's that?" And
yeah.
I thought, how arrogant of me to assume that every kid out there knows how a seed goes into the soil and generates and becomes a living thing. It's just, it was, again, another wake-up call of the disconnect, I had with, people in my world and how I felt like I really wanted to, bridge that gap somehow, help them
yes,
have this richness
yes.
that I had as a kid.
Yeah, that's why I talk about nature so much on this show, because it's a lot about our health. Toxics is a lot about our health,
yeah.
but it's also about what we're doing to the world that supports us. And
yeah.
to me, health is about supporting all of life, not just my one individual body.
Mm-hmm.
So you started Interior Concerns.
Yeah,
the first design
a
and
nonprofit.
Building. yeah, and I think that's
yeah.
when I met you. And we
uh-huh.
were both living in the San Francisco Bay Area at the time. And
yeah.
I found out about Interior Concerns, and I think I called you up because you were doing just what I was doing, but you were doing it for building products and decorating products. And we need to take a break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd. My guest today is Victoria Schomer, and we'll be back right after this. Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Victoria Schomer. She is an interior designer, innkeeper, and real estate agent, and she has been at the helm of many firsts in the green design and build movement, completing her first green project in 1990. So, Victoria, would you tell us, I'm going to want to talk about your work, what you do, because you do many things, but first, would you tell us a little history, since you were there through the whole thing from the beginning, of what were the concerns of how did this whole green building movement start, and what were the concerns, particularly the toxic concerns of, you know, sick building syndrome and all that? How did this all get to be what it is today?
Well, I think the biggest press piece was that the EPA headquarters had been carpeted with toxic carpet.
And I remember.
Boy,
that.
I can't remember. Yeah, I help me with my remembering how early that was, but I bet you that was in the late 80s or early 90s. So that 4PC that was in that toxic carpet, and I think there's some irony that it was the EPA, not nice, but it was kind of ironic.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the beginning of all of these people were getting sick from exposure to this carpet that had been installed in this office, EPA headquarters. And that was the beginning of this inquiry into, okay, what is going on here? Why are all these people getting sick? And the only thing that they could connect it to was this new installation of new carpet. And, of course, a lawsuit is what, you know, motivated everybody to wrap their heads around it and get it taken care of. And it didn't take long for them to figure out that it was in the glues that bind together all the tufts of carpet that make up that carpet. You know, the loops of carpet have to be glued to the backing so that they stay in place. And it was in the glue. So it wasn't, here again, it was one of these big chemical companies producing something without any regard or any legislation or any criteria for what was safe or not. So that was sort of the beginning of, I think, the realization that, it's not all safe inside or out. You know, we already knew about it. Outdoor air quality was smog, and we could see that. But we assumed that when we were indoors, we were safe, tucked inside, as long as our windows weren't open. Well, guess what? You know, we learned differently. And that was sort of my first remembrance of, and I think that's probably what started it all. So from the early 90s on, we started examining everything that was going inside our buildings, and it's been a long roller coaster ride, because as we start to look at some product and we go, wow, isn't spray foam insulation that just the greatest thing since sliced bread? How tight an insulation material it can be, it makes your home very energy efficient, it's easy to install. And the first time I used that product on a renovation, I was quite shocked because I have a pretty good nose. I don't have any real serious chemical sensitivities. I have my own immune issues, but nothing anywhere near as dramatic as a lot of people that I work with. But I thought, this isn't right. This stuff smells really bad. No one's talked about it. And that was probably 5 or 6 years ago, and it's only been in the last year or so. This is what makes me a bit crazy. I couldn't possibly be the only one that was suspecting that this stuff doesn't smell good. How about the installers? I mean, they're using a hazmat suit and a respirator. Isn't that kind of a tip-off to,
yeah,
you know, this product might be great for energy efficiency, but what in the world is it doing to us in installation, and then what is it doing to us while it's outgassing? And what's it going to do when it starts breaking down, frying, you know, breaking down into small particulate and becoming airborne and in our homes and in the entire environment?
Well, so, this is exactly what I think part of the problem has been, and I think it's improving some. But I know in the beginning there that I was looking at people when the whole idea of green started back in 1990, that people were saying, oh, we need to do this environmental thing. And they would only look at one aspect, like they would just say, let's save energy. And that's all they would look at. And so if something saved energy, it was legitimate. And yet we live in a multifaceted life. And what we really need to do is look at all the different facets. Because if we do something that saves energy with toxic chemicals that kill people, that's not a solution. And I think that that's what the field has had to learn.
Yeah, and I look at the U.S. Green Building Council, which, you know, to its huge, benefit has really driven the green building movement internationally. I mean, what they've created has been enormous. But their focus has been about, and through their LEED rating system, which is a system that you can add up points or acquire points based on your water usage, your energy efficiency, the location of the materials, where they came from, how much waste material you were able to divert to recycling instead of landfill. So they have a rating system. And that rating system has been weighted so heavily on energy efficiency, how much material you save, all those things. Only in the last year or so have they finally gotten it, with the help of the Healthy Building Network, that they have got to address toxins in the home, in the building, and they are now making the rating system address those issues and requiring people to get a lot more points in the category of indoor air quality or indoor environmental quality as energy efficiency. So, I mean, how many, and the U.S. Green Building Council is having their 20th anniversary. So it's taken that, it's taken this many years. Granted, they've done tremendous stuff.
I agree. I totally agree. Because, the environment, there are issues that need to be addressed, like energy efficiency, that are not particularly toxic issues, although energy efficiency is a toxic issue because of toxic waste that gets produced, and pollution that comes from burning the fuels. But all these other things, we're talking about toxic chemicals and the materials that we use in our homes, that hasn't been addressed to the degree that it should be. We need to take another break, but we'll be right back and find out more about what's going on with toxic-free building with Victoria Schelmer, one of the pioneers in the field. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about green interiors on your home. My guest is Victoria Schelmer, who is a pioneer in this field. Victoria, we were talking in the last segment about the EPA building and the problem, and during the break I looked it up. I actually wrote in my book, Home Safe Home, which is no longer in print, that in 1984, actually.
Oh, my God.
In 1984, in my very first published book, Non-Toxic and Natural, I wrote that you shouldn't use synthetic wall-to-wall carpeting, and I had no studies to base it on. But I listed all the toxic chemicals that I knew of that were in carpeting. And you could just, anyone could just look at that list and say, if they had any knowledge of toxic chemicals, like I did at the time, I looked at this and I said, wait a minute, this is too much toxic exposure. But the year was, and I just had it here, in 1988 was the incident at the EPA. And then it took all the way, this was really a big thing, and I wrote and wrote and wrote about this. And then and they found all these levels of 4PC, like you were talking about. And then there was the Consumer Product Safety Commission had received 500 complaints about reactions to carpet from the general public by 1991. And then a whole contingency of state attorneys generals asked the Consumer Product Safety Commission to put a warning on new carpet, but they refused. And now we still have that same toxic carpet with no warning on it, still all these years later. So that's what we're up against, is that we do have all these toxic products like that, and you and others and me have been looking for safe alternatives. So tell us more about what you do. I'll just say that on your website, which is greenbuilt-e.com, it shows that you do green design and build green built environments, but you're also a realtor, and you also have a bed and breakfast in Asheville called Asheville Green Cottage. So I love the way you can do design, but you can also help, as you say, help people discover the potentials, which is also something that I do. I'm not a realtor, but I can go anywhere in the world and assess the potential of turning a building into being less toxic. And you also provide a space where people can come and see what it's like to spend the night in a place that isn't toxic. And I think that you've done a very good job of providing all these different services. It's really wonderful.
I think the most fun I've been having, and I wouldn't say that my design and build isn't fun, but the green bed and breakfast is just really fun. We are getting, for 7 years now, the most amazing people. And there's the synergies of who meets who, you know, who's interested in the same thing. The conversations at the breakfast table are always, mostly always focused around health and the environment and different issues and things like that. And everyone sort of comes to us because they're pretty much on the same page.
Yes.
So it's just been kind of wonderful to facilitate, you know, that opportunity for people to come and stay at a place. And, you know, they love the colors that I've picked. But they said, what am I sleeping on? I don't. My back doesn't hurt this morning. How come it doesn't smell in here of anything? So it's really wonderful to just to make that available to people because it's not many places they can find that. I was just checking my emails. I've got a client or a B&B guest who comes all the time. She's chemically sensitive, and she comes here, and she feels safe to come here and stay. And that's just a wonderful thing that, you know, I feel really good about. Offering that and the education.
Well, you're also offering it's a living example of people can come and see this is what their home could be like.
And it's so simple what we've done here. We're not a Victorian, you know, B&B with lots of things to dust and collect dust, and we're mostly all hardwood floors and, you know, healthy bedding, organic linens. It's really a very simple environment, and I think for me, I always say my default when I'm trying to figure out what products to use is to use whatever's got the least chemicals or the least product in there and whatever's the simplest. We clean absolutely everything with vinegar, water, and tea tree oil as an antiseptic. That is it. And, you know, it's clean, and we've got two dogs here, and we Swiffer and sweep, but otherwise vinegar and water and tea tree oil has done everything we need to do other than some soft scrub. And it's certainly, as we know, it's not giving, you know, any reactions for people. So that's been an easy solution, and there are many easy solutions if we kind of keep things simple, I think.
I think so, too. I mean, I basically clean with vinegar and water and baking soda and all those things. So if people want to know more about Victoria's green bed and breakfast, you can go to AshevilleGreenCottage.com, and you can see pictures of the rooms and all kinds of information. I'm looking at the pictures right now. Beautiful. Oh, Victoria, in one of your rooms, you have exactly my bed frame.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I have exactly this bed, the one that has a curve over the top, and then there's that little medallion and the three panels. That's my bed.
Oh.
In the Mediterranean room.
In the Mediterranean room, yep.
That's cool. Okay, so tell us now what you do as a real estate broker, how you can help people. Assess.
Yeah, this is Yeah, this has been really exciting because, as you know, there is just so much existing housing stock. I mean, I guess the greenest building there is the one that you didn't build because you didn't create, you know, more waste, put in more toxins, et cetera. So there is so much building stock, existing building stock, that is just perfectly sited, south-facing slope, roof line for solar exposures. It has space where we can open it up so that you can have a garden and provide for yourself, easy ways to get cross-ventilation for good air quality and then fresher air. And then, for me, the simpler the architectural style, the better. Like a ranch-style home, to me, is the most perfect example of a piece of real estate that you can green up, that's easy to design or redesign and make it, make it your own, but also make it energy efficient, make it safe, and also have opportunities to make it energy efficient and use solar and natural ventilation and things like that. So it's been really, really fun to get involved in the building side from that angle and help people find homes. It's a scary proposition going out there to make a new home for yourself, especially when you have either health issues as most people know, they know enough now to know that there's things they should be looking for, and they're not quite sure what they are, but they need support to make sure that they don't buy something that's going to make them sick.
Or also to know if they can clean that up or not. And we'll talk more about this after the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Victoria Schomer, and we're talking about green and toxic free homes. We'll be right back. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Victoria Schomer, one of the pioneers in green and non-toxic building and remodeling. And she does many things. Her website is greenbuilt-e.com, and you can go and see everything that she does there, and there are links to all the different aspects of her work. Doing design work, acting as a realtor to find toxic-free and green properties, and also you can stay at her bed and breakfast. Victoria, this is the last segment of the show, so I want to make sure that you get the opportunity to talk about whatever you would like to talk about. So is there something you'd like to say that we haven't covered?
I don't know. We've talked about all my favorite things and yours too, I think. I think the one thing I just wanted to conclude for me is to sort of sum up my last, 20, 25 years and realize that I actually feel more hopeful now than I have in a long time about where we're heading in protecting ourselves from exposures to chemicals and also saving this planet. I know people feel like it's scarier than ever out there and there's dangers lurking every corner, but I think that's the way the world has been. I mean, 100 years ago, we could have died of a disease pretty easily and there was, a lot of unfriendly activity going on. I think we have really two great opportunities. One is that I think the mainstream public is pretty savvy to what's going on now. And they are making their voice heard. So we're not, sort of stumbling around with few thousand people, but we have tens and tens of thousands of people who are now saying enough is enough. You realize when Walmart has decided to ban 10 toxic ingredients in their products that they sell, that's a big step. How that all shakes out remains to be seen, but that's been announced in September, when Portland or when Oregon decided that the genetically modified seeds were not going to take precedence over natural seeds. You know, we're getting there slowly but surely. So I feel more hopeful because our consumers and our public are just so much more involved and informed. And because we have the internet, we have so many places where we can access information, where we can research for ourselves, we can take more personal responsibility for our own health because we can be informed about what's out there and what's, you know, what's going to be better for us on an individual basis. And we all are so unique. It's really, I know, you know, and I know it's challenging to help support somebody with the chemical sensitivities because every person's situation and their toxic levels and the things that they get reactions from are different. So with the amount of information we have out there now, I think we can all do a better job of taking care of ourselves. And also, we're just a bigger base of people who are not going to let, you know, things get out of control.
Well, I think I totally agree with you with everything that you say. And I know that you and I have had a lot of experience with multiple chemical sensitivities that you're not chemically sensitive. But that was my original introduction to all of this. Mm-hmm. But coming from that, I mean, that's a particular way of viewing life, of saying, well, all these toxic chemicals are making my body sick, that they're destroying my immune system. But what I came to after I started recovering and started doing the research is that it's not just about people being chemically sensitive, that in my last book, Toxic Free, I really identified that every single body system, there are now studies which show toxic chemicals are affecting every single body system. So it doesn't matter what symptom or what illness you have, toxic chemicals is contributing to it. And there are doctors now that know that the first thing that you need to do is detox, because no treatment is going to work unless you have the toxic chemicals out of your body, if that's what's causing the problem. I mean, if your body is sick because of toxics, you could take all the drugs in the world or have all the surgery in the world, and it's not solving the problem that toxic chemicals are making you sick. We know more about that than ever. And I totally agree with you that the internet is giving us more information. It's making it easier. When I first started 30 years ago, I had to go down to the library and look at one book that I have sitting on my shelf today called Clinical Toxicology of Consumer Products. I used that book at the library, and I bought a chemistry dictionary. So, and the way I learned about toxic chemicals was that I would look up chemical A, and it would say it's made from this and this and this, and I'd go look up all those other chemicals. Mm-hmm. And now I can just go online and type in arsenic, you know, and I get 100 results of all the health effects of arsenic. I mean, it's really very simple for people to get this information now.
But I think, your point that, you know, everybody's got something that they're dealing with, and we need to keep ourselves safe. We also need to take good care of ourselves. We need to really, I feel so grateful to live in Asheville. I mean, I don't know what, you know, the stars aligned and I ended up here is sort of, you know, my quick story of how we ended up here. But I'm in an environment where people care about their kids and they want to feed their families. They want to live back on the earth again, on the planet, and feed themselves and grow their own food. And our restaurants, there's hardly a restaurant in town that doesn't do farm-to-table organic food. It's just a great environment to be in, and I wish that for everyone to find an environment that helps to support them from the community standpoint, because it's tough out there trying to keep yourself healthy and figure it out.
It is, and I love Asheville. I think that anybody who wants to go on a vacation who doesn't live in Asheville should go to Asheville for a vacation.
Yeah.
I go there anytime I have the opportunity. It's only a 12-hour drive for me.
Oh, gosh.
I love going to Asheville. I love Asheville. It's a great place. Well, we do still have a few more minutes, just a few more minutes. So let's see, what else can we talk about? Well, how do you see the future? Let's look in a crystal ball.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, when I look at a big entity like Walmart sort of bowing down to, okay, we're going to have to pay attention to this. If we can get the chemical companies to do the same thing, and we can get our politicians to rally around getting the legislation in place that protects us as consumers. And I think that's going to happen. I mean, it all looks so screwy, you know, but maybe things look the worst before they clear out that expression, whatever
it's
that
darkest
is.
Darkest before the dawn.
Before the dawn, yeah. And I think that that's where we are in this. Because
I think so, too.
Yeah, because, you know, our politicians couldn't get more, you know, malfunctioning, and the chemical companies couldn't be so overtly blowing us off like, yeah, well, we don't care. So when I see Walmart saying, okay, we're going to ban these chemicals, you know, they're a global supplier of products. So all of their suppliers are going to have to start
That's
paying
right.
attention to what they're using as well. So as I said, I don't know how it's all going to really shake out, but I feel really encouraged by the things that are starting to happen that are having big impacts globally. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I see kind of behind the scenes, that there's things going on for manufacturers that consumers don't see because they're not advertised to consumers. But manufacturers, mm-hmm. there are actually programs going on to help manufacturers identify where are the toxic chemicals in their products and help them identify how they can reformulate their products.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and that's going
that
on. Even, like,
yeah.
there was something I saw from the American Chemical Society. The American Chemical Society had at their conference a presentation about natural flavorings for food because they recognized that consumers would no longer tolerate or buy artificial flavorings.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like the American Chemical Society. It was amazing
good,
for me to see
to
that. Because
yeah,
you
yeah.
think that they're holding on so tight to the way things used to be,
mm-hmm.
but they're not necessarily.
But they can't.
The change is happening, and I see it. Mm-hmm. I see it on that fundamental level, and so mm-hmm. I know we're going to see it in the world. Well,
mm-hmm.
thank you so much for being with
you
me.
You bet.
Yeah, let me give your website again. It's greenbuilt-e.com, and you can go find out about all the services that Victoria offers. In design and building and in choosing homes to buy. And you can just go visit a toxic-free environment at her bed and breakfast in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina.
Thanks so much, Deborah. It was delightful.
Thank you. Thank you. So you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com. And you can find out who the other guests are. You can also find out who has been on in the past, because every single one of these shows are archived. You can go back and listen to the shows from the past. And across the top, there's a menu. And just click around on different parts of my website, because you can go to Deborah's List and find hundreds of websites that sell toxic-free products. You can go to Q&A and find out all kinds of questions. You can ask your own questions. You can call me for a consultation. You can buy my book. We've just got lots and lots of information. Thanks for being with me today.